Welcome back to Page of the Wind, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Name of the Wind, page by page. This is page 266, and in the 10th anniversary edition, 255. Close. As he grew angrier, his lilting accent became more pronounced. No, they are none of them better men than me. I need not bow to them. There was a moment of uncomfortable silence at the table. I noticed more than a few surrounding students were watching the show from the nearby tables. Hilta tiam, Savoy continued. There is nothing in this place I do not hate. Your weather is wild and uncivilized, your religion barbaric and prudish, your horrors are intolerably ignorant and unmannerly. Your language barely has the subtlety to express how wretched this place is. Savoy's voice grew softer the longer he spoke, until he almost seemed to be speaking to himself. My blood goes back 50 generations, older than a tree or stone. I am come to this. He put his head against the palms of his hands and looked down at his tin tray. Barley bread. Gods all around us, a man is meant to eat wheat. I watched him while chewing a mouthful of fresh brown bread. It tasted wonderful. I don't know what I was thinking, Savoy said suddenly, getting to his feet. I can't deal with this, he stormed off, leaving his tray on the table. That's Savoy, Manet said to me in an offhand manner. Not a bad sort. Though he's usually not nearly as drunk as that.
He's Modegan?
Simon laughed. You don't get more Modegan than Savoy.
You should not prod at him, Willem said to Manet. His rough accent made it hard for me to tell if he was rebuking the older students, but his dark, selfish face showed definite reproach. As a foreigner, I guess he sympathizes with Savoy's difficulty adjusting to the language and culture of the Commonwealth. He is having a rough time of it, Simon admitted. Remember when he had to let his manservant go? Mouthful, Manet made a gesture with both hands as if playing an imaginary violin. He rolled his eyes, his expression vastly unsympathetic. He had to sell his rings this time around, I added. Willem, Simon, and Manet turned to look at me curiously. There, and that's the end of the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
Definitely our talk the last few days has made me more sympathetic to Savoy's plight. Obviously, when juxtaposed with Quoth's journey, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But as you said yesterday, Jeremy, as far as Savoy knows, he's at rock bottom. He's mm-hmm. never known anything else, but he's having to sell off one by one the things that make life worth living, I guess. Mm.
Well, it's very much a first world problem, you know, that he's having, you know, like, compared to Quoth. And as much as I am sympathetic to Savoy's plight, I also think that remember when he had to let his manservant go is very funny to me.
I'm sure that's a gag. I'm sure that's Simon doing it.
Like, no, I'm sure that it's not. I'm sure that he came to school with a butler.
Oh, no, I think that's true, too. I think Simon is bringing it up as like, remember how bad he's
going? Yeah, again. Totally. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. He's making fun. And so, and Manet's... We also... Here's a commonality. In both of our worlds, the playing a violin, you know, for sarcastic sympathy is a universal gesture.
Well, normally it's in, for us, it's the world's tiniest violin or something mm-hmm. like that.
But even, like, if someone did this to indicate, Jeremy, I have just made the gesture of playing a violin, if someone did that in a conversation to indicate sarcastic sympathy, I would totally get it. Because in the real world, like, violin music is sort of coded as being sad and tragic.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And we also get a sense of, like, it's not just that Savoy is, like, not managing his money super well. He's also a foreigner in a foreign country that he's having to acclimate to, and it's clearly, you know,
all the things that probably bring him comfort, his trappings of wealth, he's mm-hmm. having to sell and just to live.
And also, like, he's having to put up with, like, weather he doesn't like and a religion that he doesn't like and prostitutes that are he is not accustomed to dealing with.
I actually think that his description on the prostitutes is actually a bit telling. So, how does he describe them?
Intolerably ignorant and unmannerly.
So, does that mean that in his culture, they would not? Like, they would be more...
The sense I get is that the whores he's used to are more like courtesans.
Courtesans, you know? Right? You know, they have studied the art of the seven pleasures. You know, they know ways to, you know, to...
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Right?
I was thinking maybe more like they would be good for, like, intellectual conversation, but what you say makes a little
maybe
more sense.
Like I think the companions in Firefly where they're, you know, they're the height of class.
Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, someone that you pay to have sex with. They, like, there's probably elaborate ritual, and, like, they probably are, you know, play the lute for me while I eat grapes, and then we'll have sex, you know?
Fair.
Trying very hard not to laugh smarmily.
Mm-hmm.
So difficult. The smarm is spilling out of my pores.
Okay, well, while Nick deals with that. Anyway, I just thought that this was like...
With smarm.
With smarm. Stop it. I'm busy trying to explain to you that this is an interesting cultural difference.
Yeah.
And what else is he comparing? I found that one, like, especially... telling.
Totally.
It makes the world feel very vibrant. The fact that Quoth has bumped into all these people from all over who all have very real feeling stories.
Well, and, like, to your point, Jordana, the things that Savoy finds unbearable about the Commonwealth tell us a lot about what Modigan culture, at least for the aristocrats, must be like.
And also the weather.
Yeah. He's used to, like, more predictable, probably more mild weather, which makes me think of Modig as being, you know, more temperate, like somewhere like Spain or the south of France. Their religion is barbaric and prudish, which tells us that Modigan religion, you know, is probably Modigan a little more licentious.
Also,
I mean, I don't think licentious is necessarily the descriptor. Jordana, your hand is up.
Modigan religion has more than one god.
Yes, gods all around us, he says.
Yeah. So that's an interesting concept as well. That he also. So when he says your religion, he's likely speaking of the Talon religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we sort of already knew was the main religion, but this really does solidify it.
Mm-hmm. And we know how prudish and preceptive it is.
Mm-hmm.
Preceptive?
Prescriptive?
Prescriptive, thank you.
He also, I wonder if there might be a deep laid-in context clue here about the nature of Modigan religion. He says, my blood goes back 50 generations, older than tree or stone. Gods all around us. So in our world, there are religions where, it's not that, like, there are, you know, gods up in the sky, but, like everything is imbued with some kind of divinity, and some are more powerful than others. I'm thinking particularly of, a religion like Shinto or other animist religions where, like, every stone and blade of grass and river has a spirit associated with it, and, you know, like a bigger mountain or a, you know, a broader, more powerful river might have a bigger, more powerful spirit associated with it. And his use of the idiom older than tree or stone combined with the idiom of gods all around us makes me wonder if that might not be the nature of Modigan religion.
Because... Now, you said Modig was sort of in the middle of everything, yeah?
It's just north of the Eld. In fact, in the 10th anniversary map, it looks like it's covered in forest.
So... I find it interesting that it is proximity close to the Eld, which is sort of a bit of a fey area, right? Like, we know that
that's... There's
a bit of an entrance somewhere in there.
Well, yeah, that... Yeah. Filoran has been active there. Can you just pull up in your map, actually? Because in the 10th anniversary book, Modig is covered by forest and looks like it's part of the Eld Forest, but...
I don't think there's that kind of geographical detail, really.
There isn't. In fact, it... The Eld is distinctly something different from Modig in the in the normal book map.
But because I don't understand the geographical references that Nick is using, Modig is like on the other side of the continent from the Commonwealth. It's
I'm talking. It's close to Severin and the Eld.
Right, but I don't know where those places are or where they matter. I'm talking about in terms of how far Savoy has come to go to university. He's crossed the entire continent of the Four Corners.
Yes.
And so Modig is on the other side of the Stormwall Mountains from Ademra.
From Ademra, yes.
Okay, so back to... This is actually a crackpot theory. So what I was saying is that... So Modig's close to the Eld, also very, 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 very old.
What if parts of the story Quoth is looking for come from Modig?
Could be possible.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see Modig
maybe
in the
gods all around our Fae origin.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the Modigan religion is the worship, a sort of bastardized worship of the Fae. In fact, what do they say about... remember when Quoth... Sorry, when Arladin and Lyanna and... Not Lyanna.
Lorien. You're thinking of the Starks.
Yeah, sorry. When Arladin, Lorien, and Ben are talking about what things people in different parts of the world are afraid of, what do the Modigans
here,
fear?
I have it right here, actually. I just managed to open to it. The Vintish, Draugr here in the Commonwealth, they don't say what they... Yeah, it's not... Modig is not mentioned in this exchange.
Damn it! Yeah, so Modig is so tantalizing!
I get the sense that since Modig hasn't been front and center, that it won't be that important. All these things we're speculating about...
Maybe that's just what Rothfuss wants you to believe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's a bait and switch, a double bluff. But all these things we're speculating about, we don't know enough to dispute.
Mm-hmm.
So we can speculate till the cows come home, but we've already been at it for 10 minutes.
Mm.
Well, the cows aren't home yet, so I intend to speculate for a while yet.
I beg to differ.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Oh, Jordana, you just owned yourself.
What? What do you mean?
Called yourself a cow.
Yeah, and in India, cows are really great. So...
Right, but in...
Nope, Jordana has corncobbed us, Jeremy. We are corncobbed.
Okay.
I'm not owned.
Jeremy, you are a corncob now.
Okay. I do have just one more note... Two more notes about the page. One is just very quickly that the contrast between Quoth and Savoy's, both contrast actually and similarities between their two plights is like palpable. Like mm-hmm. it's just so there and available to discuss. Quoth is also pretty quiet in this scene compared to maybe some other scenes where he was talking. But it's important that he's quiet during this scene because when he does speak... It's very interesting. When he does speak, he mentions that Savoy sold his rings, which was not spoken of at all.
Yeah, he does some Sherlock Holmes stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I get the sense
which we'll discover more about tomorrow. But I just think that it's very interesting that he was quite quiet, but when he does speak, it is important.
Mm-hmm. He's listening. He's paying attention.
Yeah.
It also makes sense to me, like, when I'm introduced to a new group of people, and I don't know what the social dynamic is, and I'm maybe not friends with everybody yet, I am often quiet, and I sort of listen to the conversation that's happening and figure out who these people are and what they talk about and, like, what kind of jokes I should be making and how I can insert myself into the conversation. And especially if, like, there's some weird friend drama happening and someone's shouting and making insults about the other person's family, I probably wouldn't speak up, having known these people all of 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, that is all of my notes. Do we have mail?
We do. We have mail for...
For
mail
days.
For days.
Mail
yeah.
for days.
That's possibly, what we like to hear.
It's entirely possible that we will have at least one letter for every episode from now on.
Wow.
So keep them coming, kids. We have a lot more. We probably won't get to these all in this recording session. So yeah.
Not with that attitude.
Is Josh back?
This is indeed a letter from Josh.
Josh the Bard.
Josh writes, "Hey all, boy do I have some thoughts about page 222.
All right.
The page where Quoth bullies the tailor. First off, while I'm not in the hashtag Quoth did nothing wrong camp, I am in the hashtag Quoth did nothing good camp. I would argue that
Quoth did net good is that
did
hashtag.
Net good. I
net
apologize.
Good.
Quoth did net good.
Josh is a utilitarian.
I would argue that suffering has value in that there is an amount of suffering we are all willing to put up with if we get something out of it. Going to work versus having money, cleaning your room versus having a clean room, exercise versus fitness, etc. I would also argue that stories have value, not just novels like Name of the Wind, but fun stories you can tell at parties. Sure, this tailor has a crappy afternoon, but he can tell the story of the naked noble boy who had his clothes stolen by a sex worker for the rest of his life. I think that's a fair trade. I got my pocket picked in Paris. This is still Josh talking. This is not Nick talking. I got my pocket picked in Paris when I was 16, and even at the time, I knew the experience and the story were worth more than the 20 euros that I lost. It even saved me from having my pocket picked years later because I knew the warning signs. Also, I think I'm on Nick's side about being aware of the stories you are telling. 24, for example, didn't make anyone, as far as I know, go out and torture people, but it certainly made the American people more comfortable with the idea of their government using torture in the name of national security. And as much as we all love Batman, it probably colors the way we look at mental health issues. I also think the argument of good people know the difference only works if you think the world is full of nothing but good people. That being said, violent crime does drop when violent movies are released because more violent people are sitting quietly in a movie theater than on other nights. Hashtag fun fact.
influence goes the other way too. Nichelle Nichols portrayed, Nichelle Nichols' portrayal of Uhura on Star Trek directly caused women, particularly black women, to become astronauts. I feel like this was an intense email. Sorry about that, but you guys are doing great, and I'm having fun listening to you. All the best. Signed, Josh the Bard. There's a lot to unpack here, Josh.
Yeah, I agree.
It sounds like you, much like Quoth, are a utilitarian, that doing net good is the important thing. If you cause more good than harm, then you've ultimately lived a good life, and you're justified. I don't know if I agree, but that's certainly a take.
I wonder what the warning signs are of having your pocket picked, and which one of those you picked up on
that prevented you from getting picked. When I was in New York City, I'm sure I was an attempted pickpocket victim. There was a dude in Times Square doing it looked like he was about to do like an acrobatic set, but he was sort of stalling on actually doing the set. He was sort of working the crowd and moving them around and trying to kind of like, he was implying that he was going to start doing flips and stuff, but he never did. And I swear to God, I felt a hand in my pocket. And I whipped around and there was an unassuming tourist of Asian origin behind me with like big thick shades on, sort of like an elderly guy. And he was looking like dead past me. But I was like, oh my God. So maybe it's entirely possible that I was just, you know,
paranoid.
But what I think happened is that the two of them were working a deal. Mm. And like this guy's working the crowd, like taking the attention, moving people around so that the likely marks get in the right position. And then this guy who looks like a tourist in Times Square can do. And he also like the kind of guy that doesn't look like
he's going to pick up.
Yeah, like it doesn't look like he's going to pick a fight. Anyway, my pocket was empty in that I had nothing to pick, but I could have sworn there was a hand in it and we got out of there. Anyway, so. Yeah, Josh, you have more warning signs. Please tell us, because our listeners could probably benefit from it.
I feel like I don't experience pickpocket as much because girls' pants don't have very big pockets.
For now, the pocket revolution is coming.
I hope so. I could really use some more space.
You're more likely to be the victim of a purse snatching, if anything.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm a backpack person, so.
Much harder to snatch.
Yep. I think I agree with Josh that the story of the naked noble boy is a better, like, is worth the difficult afternoon, because that will be a good story forever. So, I mean, in that, I think I agree. I don't recall what you're referring to, like, what exactly the conversation was.
I think we had a somewhat intense conversation about how much stories influence the real world and people's attitudes in it.
Yeah, that seems likely. And I, like you said, you're on my side, so I think we can, I can lie along with you here. And I totally believe that we, as creators, have to be aware of the messages we're sending and be ethical creators.
I think that I believe
disagrees.
I believe in that generally, but probably to a less degree than you do. In that I think that asking an author to take full responsibility for anything that anyone does based on the thing that they read of theirs is insane.
Sure, but I think that Homeland is a deeply irresponsible production and like should never have been greenlit.
I see.
I feel like, gentlemen, this is a discussion for another time.
Yeah, let's take this offline.
Sure. We are a proud member of the Dork Shelf Podcast Network. This has been page 266. I am always Jordana.
I am usually Nick.
And today I've been Jeremy.
And we've been Paige
of
the
Wind.